On RN, you're with The Rhythm Divine, where spirituality meets music, with Jeff Wood.
It's the instrument they play in heaven, apparently. But as Master Harper Andy Rigby reveals, the harp has a political as well as a sacred dimension. And yes, he's heard all the jokes.
Yes, right through to, "You'll never get to heaven if you break my harp," you know, lines like that.
G'day, I'm Jeff Wood, and our music today on The Rhythm Divine comes from one of Australia's leading makers and players of the folk harp in both its Celtic and Latin American forms. Andy Rigby started playing Celtic music in 1981 before discovering the harp styles of Paraguay and Ecuador a few years later. Well, since 1990, he's been a full-time musician and instrument maker, specialising in medieval Gaelic brass-strung harps, Spanish Baroque chromatic harps, and other forms of Celtic and Latin harps. With a history dating back to biblical times and beyond, the harp in one form or another is found in cultures all over the world. And Andy Rigby probably knows as much as anyone in Australia about these many folk traditions. I caught up with Andy at last year's Woodford Folk Festival for a lively introduction to harp artistry.
Hi, my name's Andy Rigby. I was just playing a paraceltic harp of my own design and making, and that was an excerpt from a well-known Paraguayan tune called Llegada, Arrival. It's my hybrid design of harp. It's largely based on the modern Paraguayan harp, which is essentially a Spanish Baroque harp evolved in South America over a period of several hundred years. But because I grew up in a sort of Anglo-Celtic culture and started harp playing in a Celtic zone, I wanted an instrument which was comfortable for both Celtic and Latin American styles. So I've come up with this design, which seems to work for me. I saw the harp being played in Celtic music. The Chieftains, of course, were touring with a harp player in the 1980s, and Mary O'Hara was on tour singing with her small harp, and just something about the sound entranced me. I had played guitar and piano before that, and I just thought, no, I'm going to have a go at that. I bought one and started teaching myself. There weren't a lot of teachers around, especially of Celtic harp, and I wasn't really in the classical scene at all. I didn't have the right instrument for that, and I wasn't really doing the discipline practice that they demand for that. So I was teaching myself in a folky kind of way, and it just got more and more intense as the years went by, and suddenly I was getting gigs playing for weddings and festivals and things, and it's just evolved from there.
Well, let's stick with this Paraguayan style harp, if I can put it that way. How many strings are there?
This one has 36, which is a standard range for a Paraguayan harp of today. It's 5-octave range. So the lowest note is a bit more than 2 octaves below middle C in piano terms, and it goes another 3 octaves up high. It's a bit like piano. You play mostly left hand on the bass down here, and right hand melody, although the Paraguayans would often do octaves like that, and they get that big crisp sound with the fingernails as opposed to the pads of the classical technique. And they often would go, instead of the simple octaves, they would go with a harmony in there as well, lush it up like that.
The Paraguayan harp is the national instrument of Paraguay, isn't it?
It certainly is. If you drive or get a taxi from the main airport in Asunción into the central city, you drive past about a dozen harp-making factories, and you can buy a harp there for a couple of $100 American, the cheapest ones. And everyone in Paraguay either plays the harp or knows someone who does. The music is, it's foremost in their culture.
How did the harp get there?
It went with the Spanish in the 1500s and 1600s with the missionaries, so the early music would have been church music. The Spanish had a Baroque harp which was cross-strung to get the chromatic notes, but there are cross-strung harps in Latin America, but the one that stuck, the one that survived and evolved into the national instrument, which is more of a folk thing than a classical style, was actually just a simple single row of strings doing the do-re-mi scale for 5 octaves, and you make what you can of that. And I still haven't run out of ideas what to do with those seven notes. It's like the man said on stage this morning, we've all got the same seven notes to play with.
Yes, Pandit Santosh Mishra, the great sarangi master, said that. Quote of the day.
Thanks very much. I'm going to start with a couple of harp solos, a medley of two tunes from centuries ago in Ireland. The first one is a lament called the Limerick Lamentation, lamenting the breaking of a treaty between the English and the Irish after the Battle of Limerick, and many people were massacred on that occasion. It's a very sad tune. And I'll follow that by a more optimistic melody composed by Rory Dáil O'Cahan, or Blind Rory, who was a harper sometime after that. It's a tune of reconciliation called Give Me Your Hand.
Let's talk about the Celtic harp, which has had a real resurgence or revival in the 20th century, along with the idea of being Celtic. What's Celtic about the Celtic harp?
The Celtic peoples are very proud of their identity, and I've been to Ireland, I've been to Scotland, I've met people from those countries in Australia who grew up here or their parents emigrated. The harp is a part of their tradition. It goes way back. There are tunes like the Limerick Lamentation, which I may play tonight. It's an old lament from centuries ago, which would have been played originally on a wire-strung harp, but it's part of storytelling. There's a sadness about the music because of the displacement of the Celtic culture through centuries, often at the hands of the English, which are ironically most of my ancestors. But I've been a great fan of the Celtic music. I've read about it, I've learned music, I've been there on pilgrimage trips, and I've chased harp festivals around Ireland. I went there in 92 when there was a bicentenary celebration of a famous gathering of harp players in 1792, where they were trying to record the remnants of the Celtic harp tradition. That's very well published. The work was written down by an English keyboard player called Edward Bunting, who notated as much as he could, but it was very much after the heyday of Celtic harp playing, and there were only 10 players attended that gathering. So we try and imagine what the gaps were in that culture before the clan chiefs all lost their harp player. And of course that was an oral tradition too, so there's very little of it written down for scholars to reinvigorate from the page. There's a lot of imagination has to be used. Often the tunes went sideways into things like bagpipe traditions. Anne Heyman herself has dug some pieces of harp music out of the pibroch repertoire, the piping traditions. Some of them have harp in the name, in the title of the tune, the harp key, the harper's lament, the tunes like that, which clearly came from the harp repertoire, and possibly at the time when the Celtic culture was being stamped out by the English overlords, and you weren't allowed to play it anymore. So they were burning harps, they were doing stuff like that. So it was a broken tradition which has been reinvigorated in its old sense by people like Anne Heyman and scholars in Scotland and Ireland. But there's also a modern harp, Celtic harp revival, which extends to hot young musicians playing jigs and reels and hornpipes in pubs in Ireland on the west coast today and having a wonderful time creating a modern Celtic harp tradition rather than maintaining an old one.
Thank you. Now I'd like to invite Polly Christie to come to the stage. Here she is, all the way from Malmesbury in central Victoria.
And this comes from a fabulous singer-songwriter from the UK called Anne Lister. But it's the story that she set to the ancient Greek myth story of Icarus. I never wanted to fly high. I was too fond of walking. So when you said you touched the sky, that was your way of talking. And then you said you'd build some wings. You found out how it could be done, and I was doubtful of everything. I never thought you'd reach the sun, but you're so clever with your hands. I could watch you for hours with your glue and your rubber bands. The feathers, the lace and the flowers and the finished wings, they glow so bright like some bird of glory began to envy you your flight, like some old hero's story. You tried to get me to go with you. Well, you tried always to dare me. But I looked at the sky so blue. I thought the height would scare me. But I carried your wings for you. Up the path and to the cliff face, I stood by and watched your eyes, already bright with the sunlight. And I was gladdened at the start to watch you soaring higher. There was a pain deep in my heart. Your wings did take you far, like some seagull or a lark, soaring forever, or some ember or a spark, drifting from earth. I believed all that you said. Well, I believed all that you told me. You did something no man had ever done. Well, you touched the stars to please me. And then I saw your body fall. I saw your feathers falter. And I watched you drop like a bowl of gold into the wide green water. Well, some are born to fly high, and some are born to follow, and some are born to touch the sky, and some walk in a hollow. And as I watched your body one, for your grave was not the earth, but a reflection of the sun.
Yeah. singer Polychristi and Icarus, recorded at the Woodford Folk Festival last year for the Rhythm Divine's Sacred New Year concert with Master Harper Andy Rigby, who's my guest here on the Rhythm Divine on RN Radio Australia, online and on Twitter at DJ Radio Divine. Harps have been used for centuries for ritual ceremonies, praise songs, laments, and of course pure entertainment. And with the success of young harp players like America's Joanna Newsom and Britain's Lucinda Bell, the harp today is in danger of becoming hip. But as Andy points out, the harp also has a political dimension, as a symbol of nationalism in countries as diverse as Paraguay, Wales, and Ireland.
You mentioned earlier that Guinness, the brewing company's got a harp as an insignia, and they've sort of tapped into that revival of Celtic culture as well.
They have, and the harp has been their emblem forever. It was very clever marketing, and the story I heard was that they were happy to sponsor the chieftains in their early days, provided they got a harp player in the band, which they didn't have at that time, so they scoured the nation. And in the 1950s and 60s, there weren't that many practicing Irish harpists around. There were quite a few young women learning at the convent schools, but wasn't considered appropriate for a young woman from the convent to go touring to America with a bunch of lads playing fiddles and Irish pipes, so none of them put their hands up. But they found a man in Belfast called Derek Bell who was happy to go touring with them.
Andy, you mentioned earlier that the Celtic chieftains each had their own harpist and probably a bard. Can you tell me about that? What was the role of the harpist?
The harper for a Celtic clan chief was to play music around the place, and a lot of it was tributes to the clan chief, very much equivalent to what the kora players do in West Africa. They're associated with their regional chief, and half their work is to write songs and tunes in honour, in praise of the chief, who would then keep them well fed and looked after. There are many tunes which are clan marches or chieftain tunes in the harp repertoire, and the bard was the poet or the articulate speaker who would do the words for the chief, or, you know, to recite the linealogy of the clan, or to tell the news that had come to him, or put it into poetry. There were many things the bard had to do, which was outside the realm of the musician in the early days, but apparently times got tough and the clan chiefs couldn't afford both, so it was reduced to one position, the harper slash bard, who was then required to do both. By the time of O'Carolan in the late 1600s, the Celtic order was well finished. He was doing such things for patrons, but half of them were English anyway. It wasn't so Celtic by his stage, although he is widely honoured as the last of the great Celtic harper bards. But the irony of that is that he was, as I said, doing his music and songs for whoever would pay for his living, and they weren't all Irish, certainly not clan chiefs. They were, a lot of them were wealthy English landlords who'd taken over bits and pieces of his part of Ireland.
Spirituality and music. The Rhythm Divine on RN and Radio Australia.
Well, Andy, the harp is such a symbolic instrument in Western culture, from King David, of course, who was playing his harp or his lyre, right down to the stereotype of the instrument they play in heaven. So you must get a lot of jokes about the harp.
Yes, right through to, you'll never get to heaven if you break my harp, you know, lines like that. And I took my harp to the party and no one asked me to play, which was a Gracie Fields song, which a certain generation knows that. Or the harp that once in Tara's halls. There's some really cliched songs and references that come through. And if you take your harp to a party or a session or a concert or a gathering, you are expected to fit everybody else's image of what a harp should be. And the funniest I can remember was I was in Dublin years ago busking to pay for my trip to Ireland that year, and I was standing in the main street of Dublin busking away on a Paraguayan harp, an unmistakable Paraguayan harp, probably playing Paraguayan tunes at the time, I can't remember, but an Irish woman in her 60s came up to me and she was entranced by the music and she said, "Sure, that must be Brian Boru's harp itself." You know, she just completely had the images mixed up. But, you know, people just take a little bit of knowledge and that's their understanding of the harp. And you have to dig deep. It's any subject. The more you dig, the more you find out about it. And there's not just one Latin culture of harp music. There's a different style altogether in Venezuela, which I play some of as well. And then there's Peruvian and Colombian harp music from the mountains, which is Andean music, which is different again. Less of the Spanish rhythm influence, more of the indigenous music. All of those started with the Spanish conquistadors and missionaries with their harps, but they've evolved appropriately to the local culture through 400 or 500 years.
And I think you got your epitaph ready, you said today.
Yes, it's going to be carved on my headstone, if I have one. Gone to heaven to fix up all those broken old harps.
In line with the theme of tonight's sacred concert, I'm going to play a traditional tune from Ecuador in the Andes Mountains of South America. It's a tune which was recorded in the 50s and it's called Basija de Barro. It's about a burial song, really, and the lyrics translate from the original Quechua language to mean, "When I die, would you bury me, please, in an earthen jar beneath the ground so my soul can get closer to the ancestral spirits." Basija de Barro.
Yes, he's heard all the jokes at least twice. That's Andy Rigby there playing a para-Celtic harp, a combination Celtic and Paraguayan instrument that Andy crafts himself in his central Victorian workshop. He's one of Australia's leading players and teachers of the harp and performs most of the folk harp traditions. And as Andy told me, while players in the classical tradition refer to themselves as harpists, he prefers the old folk harp label of harper. Andy Rigby was one of my guests last year at the Woodford Folk Festival in Queensland for our sacred New Year's Eve concert, which returns again this year with another cracking lineup. And I'll tell you more about that in the coming weeks. In the meantime, head to the Rhythm Divine website for today's music details and online audio, which you can stream or download. And a reminder, the program is broadcast a second time every Sunday morning at 5:30. I'm Jeff Wood. Thanks to sound engineer Mark Daunt for the live recordings today. And thanks for your company. Catch you again next time. And on RN, that's the Rhythm Divine.